We're sitting here with Doug Lear. He is a North Dakota game and fish biologist in the state of North Dakota. Of course, also one of the key team members. One of the only team members? I keep making that joke. Of Tomlin and Friends in the mornings on the mighty 790 KFGO. Doug and I, before the break, were talking about what I perceive as a lack of interest from the sporting public, the outdoors public, when it comes to talking about some of the bigger, broader issues that I find important, including the disappearance of habitat, aquatic invasive species, what land usage, drainage, all these other things. I can't seem to gain any footing in this area, Doug, when I talk or write about these things.
And I kind of understand what you're saying, because we as a game and fish agency try to make sure that we're putting out some of those messages, as well as the threats that we've talked about with zebra mussels in Lake Winnipeg and in the Red River system and the lakes region of Minnesota and the loss of habitat. And I know for 10 years, for 15 years, that there's been a constant barrage of sportsmen need to engage. Hunters and anglers need to contact their state representatives, their congressional representatives, the United States Senate, over issues like CRP. That's probably one that maybe is a pretty good visual for people to understand, is mm-hmm. that really for about the last 10 years, and even maybe since the inception, when you take something to CRP, when you talk about like to the tune of 35 to 40 million acres nationwide, mm-hmm. and the amount of money the program costs on the ground and in administration, there has always been that concern from people, from Pheasants Forever, from state agencies to federal agencies to Ducks Unlimited, is that if the funding is lost, then the program's going to be lost. So for really legitimately for 10 years, there was a message of, make sure you tell the political leaders how important CRP is. Make sure you tell them that we can't lose any more funding, that we can't lose any more acreage of CRP. And I couldn't even tell you if that really happened a lot for the first 5 years or for the first 10 years. But I think over the course of time, in anything in life, if your wife is constantly, beating on you, you gotta get the garbage out. You mm-hmm. gotta get the yep. garbage out. After a while, you just kind of get numb to it. And you just go, yeah, I know, gotta get the garbage out. Yeah, I know we're supposed to contact our senators and our congressional delegation. And even when they were, I remember doing that as a citizen. You'd get your letters back from them. You didn't really know, did it work? There was A, B, C, D, and you couldn't see the E, F, G, H. You couldn't see what was happening from that. Maybe it was happening. Maybe it was working for a while. Maybe CRP was able to keep funding and keep acreage allocation for 4 or 5 extra years. Mm-hmm. Maybe it worked, and maybe we didn't do a good enough job of thanking them and telling hunters and conservation people that what you did was very important and it did work. And maybe we got it wrong. That's possible.
But I know this, and I don't know the scenario. And CRP, as we've talked about before, there's a lot of factors going in right now to why it's going away. Commodity prices, cash rent, yada, yada, yada. As somebody who hosts a talk show, though, that deals in politics on a regular basis, and knowing as many politicians as I know, I'll tell you this. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday, a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. Politicians respond to what is in their inbox, what is in their letter basket, and who's leaving phone messages for them. Not even the who, the number of. Politicians respond to constituents who get at them in big numbers because they look at it and go, holy cow, 500 people in my district have emailed me about conservation reserve. Man, if I don't do what they want me to do and those 500 people all vote against me, holy cow, I might lose this cushy job. I don't want to lose this cushy job with all the benefits and all the freebies and all the steak dinners and all people pat me on the back. I don't have to get a real job. I better do something about this. Politicians, no matter what stripe, no matter what letters behind their name, no matter what their name is, no matter how long they've been in office, politicians as a creature respond to public pressure because they don't want to lose their job. And you, the taxpayer, you, the outdoorsman, are their bosses, and you can get them fired. So if enough people get on the horn and say, look, Congressman, fill in the blank, it is very important to me that I have a place for me and my son and or daughter to shoot pheasants and deer 20 years from now. So you damn well better make sure that I have that place to do something like that, or you will no longer have a job. Thank you for your time.
But I think I totally agree with what you're saying, but I think in the Midwest, we had them. We had our support. So the loss of CRP and the loss of habitat and the loss of competitive rental rates for CRP maybe isn't because we didn't have support from the Midwest. Is that how far can you swing? You know, how far can you swing that influence? Is that because I don't think, again, in whatever 17 years of working in the outdoors, I don't think that there was a lack of support from the Midwest for some of these issues. Like,
no,
it was probably something beyond that.
It's awfully tough if you're a congressman in Detroit to get excited, or Chicago or New York or Terre Haute, Indiana, to get excited about conservation in the upper Midwest or any place else, because it doesn't affect you.
Yeah,
it just does. It doesn't. They have no stake in the game. No blood in the game.
Yeah, and again, from the circles that I work in and the people that I know, I also, it's just flat out real. I'm not trying to be political. I don't know if CRP and habitat and even the fight against aquatic invasive species is going to swing somebody's a citizen is going to change who they're going to vote for over something like conservation or aquatic habitat.
But people threaten to change their vote over certain other single issues.
I totally agree with you.
I can think of three of them right off the top of my head. I'm not going to make it a political show here.
But it's reality, and
one of them affects the outdoors, guns.
Yeah.
People will vote for a candidate based only on their stance on a background check on gun owners. They will vote for that issue no matter where else they can't. Why can't we get that passion for somebody who wants to make sure we have clean water?
Yeah.
And we just can't. And we're barking up the wrong tree, and we're whistling Dixie and every other cliche.
And here's what I'll say. Again, from the Game and Fish Department, from our message of conservation, is have that passion, have that fire, and carry it over to the conservation side as well. You know what? If you feel inclined to post on message boards and to talk around the watering hole and at the campfire and at the gas station about an issue that you feel strongly enough about guns, take the same amount of energy and time and put that into. There's no saying that we can't maybe change some of that momentum and generate, and it can be generated from the heartland. This is the breadbasket of the world. This is the duck factory of the world. We've got gas and oil and ducks and geese and walleye and perch that maybe from a conservation side, but maybe we can generate some of the same amount of interest in the future of natural resources that you catch on the end of a hook and that you flush from the prairies of the Midwest.
This was fun. We're out of time.
Wow.
Let's come back and do this again sometime.
That's
passionate, baby. Pound the table.
Yes. Go Bison.
Thanks, Doug. Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish, and Tom Winn and Friends. We'll take a break on Mike McFeely Outdoors and be back just as quick as we can. He can't even bait us.